the boys are back in town. Damn it, damn. Anyway, so footy podcast. It's good to be back, Wes.
Yeah.
It is good to
guess
be back.
Guess who's back? Back again.
Look, I prefer boys is back in town. I'm not going to lie, but...
It's kind of weird to be hearing a noise from the right side of this.
I know.
I'm going to have to strain my neck, dude.
No, I know. Back to
you know
Georgie
what?
Doing that.
Go back to Spain, dude, actually. It's doing my head in.
Look.
My neck already hurts.
Look, it's not the worst
option.
I
might have to do this or something instead.
Look, going back to Spain, not the worst option.
No, that's true.
It was pretty fun.
How was your trip, man?
Nah, it was really good, man. Very, very chill. A lot of drinking. A little bit of a tan. You might not be able to tell. But it was good vibes.
You didn't miss much here, I'll tell you that.
Nah, look.
North Melbourne actually...
You left me to fend for myself when North has fallen, dropped.
Yeah.
I was alone, Matter.
Look, that is, you know what? That is one good thing about our games being like the 1:10 games is because in Greece and Spain, that's 5 a.m. You think I'm going to get up watching a game at 5 a.m.? Not happening. So I just got to miss all the bad, which is nice.
Stranded me, mate.
Yeah, nah.
You made the right call. Escaping.
Yeah, 100% I made the right call, man. But anyway, look, I enjoyed, you guys holding the fort and, the episodes were awesome. You know what? And shout out to Dano for that solo pod.
Oh, yeah.
That was great, man.
Yeah, that was huge. That effort is crazy. And it was a very good pod too, man.
This guy actually knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, I know. That might have been the best pod of the year.
Yeah.
Dino's solo pod
was
crazy.
I was so self-conscious about like how long do I pause for? Like you'll notice, not that you'll rewatch it, but I barely had a sip of water because I'm like, if I just have a sip of water here, like how long's too long with no water?
did you eventually have a sip?
Oh, maybe once, but as I was sipping, I'm like, man, this is a quick sip. Yeah. I'm not getting much in.
Fair enough.
Nah, yeah, we're like guzzling down teas every week. Like, it's a different vibe.
True. No, we
should all go for one tea altogether.
Just share the
communal tea.
Yeah. What if like two of us get it at the same time?
Yeah,
and then our hands touch as well.
On camera.
No, we can't. But anyway, look, nice to be back. I did honestly. This is one of the things that I missed the most was coming together, talking a bit about footy.
It's pretty good, man.
But yeah, like, how are we going to structure this one up today? You guys,
well, can we just laugh at Port Adelaide first?
Well, yes, yes, we can.
If I was a betting man, which I'm not, right, I would have bet my house on Port Adelaide winning this game, and I would be without a house right now. There's no way, like, that was such a clear favorite in my mind. That was like the game I put in the bank, Port. All right, Friday night's exciting.
You didn't have Dean in the back of your head, like,
no,
the cat Dean called the Cats.
He did call the Cats.
I did call them. And then they had that disappointing loss to, who was it? Wait, who'd they lose? Was it Frio? Did Frio touch
them? Yeah, it was Frio.
Mm. Yeah, Frio touched them up and then we're like, oh, maybe not. But
no,
these guys just
find
a way.
Geelong beat Frio.
No, who did they lose to?
I don't know.
Yeah.
They lost to someone.
They lost to someone.
Oh, Saints. They lost to the Saints. Yes. And we're like, oh, no, these guys, oh, maybe not, they're frauds. But still in the back of my mind, what I said the week before that, I'm like, man, these Cats, they just show up. And they did it.
Well, they didn't even have Tom Stewart.
That was the crazy thing.
He's like their guy, Tom Stewart.
Yeah. Oh, I do remember Tom Stewart, actually.
You haven't gone that far.
Yeah. No, I saw that and I'm like, I'm ruling it out. That's it. Now, good luck to Geelong next week. But
how much do you want to factor in Dan Houston and Kane Farrell not being there off the halfback?
5%.
Yeah. Only 5?
Yeah, no excuses. It's finals.
Look, Butters also went out nice and early.
Not to lose by that much. I'm sorry.
But you know what it kind of reminded me of, right? Like when, say for like Butters going out, as soon as that happened, they were just not competitive the rest of the game. It's almost like when North, for example, in the main part of the season, Sheasel goes down, all of a sudden we lose by 150 points both weeks.
The one anchor.
Does it make that big a difference?
I can't believe. I hear what you're saying, but a team of Port's caliber, it can't be.
Yeah.
That's not good enough.
So what do you mean? So they've got a terrible finals record now.
Well, I just think that plays into it, like the pressure and the demons of last year comes into it. But also, I think Chris Scott said it well. Like when Jezza Cameron comes out, hits that goal from the boundary to start the game, it lifts the whole team.
Yeah.
And Port just couldn't keep up.
Yeah, man, that goal.
Like when your best player scores a goal like that to start the game, like we've all played sports at some level. It's like, man, when someone on your team does something great, like your team's clicking early on, you're just on a high.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think you can't measure that. Especially when like a day or so earlier, or maybe it was on the day they announced the goal of the year.
The nominations.
And none of them were like those technical, snaps from the boundary type goals. They're all running it out of the midfield and, hand pass chains type thing. The Harley Reid one was mad. Not going to lie. That goal where he picked it up and just ran it to the straight from the stoppage, ran it to the 50 and scored was cool. But I like goals that have technical proficiency. And that goal from Jeremy Cameron, for me, that's what I want to see. Those are the ones that get me excited.
Yep. Yeah, he's a freak, man.
Yeah. So, no, that's fair, man.
Look, impressive win from Geelong, man. Mm. I mean, yeah, it's one of those years where it's just open to anyone. And I still find it hard to believe that Geelong, but they're in a prelim, man, again.
Mm. Yeah.
Barely, how does this team just always find a way? Some organizations just always find a way to be successful.
Well, they top up their list and they always get the guy you're like, everyone can see this player is going to do well. Like Stengel a couple of years ago,
yeah,
killing it in the second divisions. No brainer, right?
Yeah.
Sean Manor this year. Yeah. Everyone was saying, this kid from Werribee, you know, he's mature age, he's a gun. Mm. He's definitely an AFL talent. Someone draft him. Who gets him of all teams? Of course, Geelong.
Yeah.
And of course, he's making an influence in the finals. Right. They've done it for years. Podsy Adley.
Mm.
Like, you could rattle them off. They always just find these guys that contribute.
Yeah. I even find, like, even someone like Jack Bowes, no one's talked about him all year, but he's actually played a decent role.
Playing well. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, between him and Manor, 5 goals. And the thing I was going to mention about Manor, right, it almost feels as though they sort of played him at the start of the year. They had him as the sub. He was in and out of the squad. It was almost like they were just sort of hiding him for him to be the secret weapon at the end of the year because he's finished the year super strong. And now in his first ever final, 3 goals, you know, it's very impressive. And that's a good shout out actually for Bose as well, man.
It doesn't get any love, but like he's been a pretty solid contributor.
Yeah.
Mm. And I mean, Dempsey, rising star as well.
Yeah. True. Yeah,
Max Holmes has become like an elite player.
And we're saying Stewart wasn't playing. Zach Guthrie was. This guy here, mate, 27 touches, 9 marks.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure that's a Tom Stewart line right there.
Mm. That's
true. Nah, ridiculous. I mean, for me, the disappointing thing with Port is ending that second quarter, 3 goals in 3 minutes. I've been obsessed with this all year. Like teams in this day and age of footy where there's the 6-6-6 rule, I don't understand how you're copying. Oh, sorry. I think that's leading to teams copying multiple goals out of nowhere. And like for me, that's when the game's over because they're down by 20 points at halftime. And you're thinking, that's obviously not over, right? But when you do it again within 5 minutes, another 2 goals within 5 to start the third quarter, it's 30 points at that point.
Yeah.
And then they just gave up, man. That's disgraceful from Port.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%, man. 100%, man. I look forward to them going out in straight sets next week.
But not going to lie. Does that loss, is that one of those ones where they bounce back or is that like, oh, shit, they're shell-shocked?
Mate.
I reckon they're shell-shocked, by the way. I reckon this will even make it even harder to win the next game.
100%. And look who they're coming up against as well, man.
I was going to say, like...
Seriously.
They smell blood, the Hawks.
The worst team to play right now when you're low on confidence is this Hawthorn team that does not give a shit.
Yeah.
The worst team. They're actually... I think my Hawthorn supporting brother was saying Hawthorn is better for premiership odds. I think they're like $6 right now and Port's like 17. So not only are they favourites,
17.
Not only are they favourites in this game, I think they're like pretty low odds now for the flag, the Hawks, which is crazy.
Mm.
We'll talk about them later, but
yeah.
Now disappointing from Port. Is Butters okay for this week? I'm assuming.
I think it was just soreness,
which that to me is like I don't know. Like we don't really know how the dude was feeling at the time, but that's crazy that he didn't run it out. To be honest with you, like if it's just
the second chance, I reckon maybe they say, oh, we won't risk it.
Maybe. But in a final, like, it's pretty nice to get a week off, man. It's pretty nice to get
huge,
a week off.
It's huge.
Like, you know, most, you know, was he the toughest player? What do they call him? The toughest
most courageous.
Player? Most courageous 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Comes off with an injury.
Yeah, comes with, exactly. Comes off with an injury that you don't need to take a week off for. I don't know. Look, in saying that, we're all big Butters fans. We're Butters enjoyers. So hopefully, hopefully he's good and you know,
you want him out there. I want him out there, man.
Yeah, 100%. And I think this week of all weeks, like even if he was a bit underdone or whatever, you'd still put him out there. You know, you'd chuck him on half forward, you know, worst case scenario. You know, that's where he started his career. So, you know, there's always that other option with him. Mm.
And just having a look at the numbers here. Rozzy only 16 touches.
Yeah, he didn't have much.
Mm. You got Dixon with 3 disposals, Radicalia with 6. Mm. Like just no impact from so many players. That's that's bad. Zerk Thatcher, who you've recruited. I mean, he's a key back. You're not expecting numbers, but just the 12 touches. 8 marks, pretty good.
Mm. Yeah, actually, I was going to say, he did take a couple contested. Yeah,
51 hit-outs for Sweet.
Yeah, I was going to say
the Cats just get away with not ever getting a hit-out.
But sometimes, does it make it easier if you just your ruckman's not going to get it?
Mm.
You almost know, it almost gives you certainty that Sweet's going to tap it.
True, because I guess if it's a good ruck versus a good ruck, you don't quite know who's going to win.
That's
right. At least now you're like, we know, we're just sharking.
Yeah, it could be. Could be like that. And maybe they're used to sharking because Stanley never gets it or Blitz halves.
That's fair. That's fair.
You guys reckon the talk about Hinkley getting sucked if they go out with anything other than a...
No.
I mean, at this point...
I don't believe it.
Is a grand final appearance... it's unlikely, but if they did make that and they lost it, do you think like it's finals or bust? Grand final or bust, or he'll survive on...
Look, he'll survive because he'll probably politic his way into keeping the job somehow, you know. He's a good talker. Obviously, it seems as though the players still like him. Mm. It seems as though that's the case. You know, there is a bit of, like, despite this loss, there's a general decent, like, vibe coming out of Port, you know, especially, you know, in the second half of the year. I think he'll be fine.
You know my prediction?
Yes.
They lose this week. He gets sacked.
Yeah.
Week or two passes, he joins West Coast. That's my prediction.
You think he's going to go to West Coast?
Well, they still haven't announced their coach, right? And why is that? Well, I've
seen the link. Do you think they're waiting for something to happen?
If they thought to themselves it's either an assistant coach who's never had a gig or Ken might get fired, I think they're happy to wait. And the assistant coach is not going anywhere. There's no other vacancies.
Yeah, true. I think was it Steve King? Was he the other Stephen King? I think he's the one that I've heard.
I think that's actually a quite likely scenario. If they get swept again back to back, you know.
Didn't they give him a contract extension?
That means nothing.
They did, but the thing is, he just...
It's not for long, though. I don't think it was a long-term one, was it?
Just another year.
Maybe just another year or two.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see how we go. I guess that's about it for that game, boys. It's pretty one-sided.
It's kind of like shameful for a final. There's nothing much to talk about on that one.
There's a couple more to come like that.
Yeah, true.
Well, at least this game here was competitive. It's just the Hawks put the foot down.
Yeah, that was so fun, man. That was so fun. And it's really like, that's what it's been for the whole year for the Hawks. You know, it's pretty much been, you know, we're going to kill it. We're going to win games. And George isn't going to tip us.
No, definitely not.
I know, I've got a question for George right now. Like,
tell me.
Like, it's a bit late in the season now, but you just have to acknowledge the Hawks right now.
Well, I have now.
You have, okay.
Look, I'll tell you, this is the thing. They are the third team ever to make finals from 0-5. It just doesn't ever happen. So, when you look at just that, you're like, it's impossible. I don't get it. It's not possible. How do they do it? I don't get it. And now it's like, oh, shit. All right.
So you were waiting every week like, this is the week the true selves come out.
I've been saying it on the pod. Like, you guys are not making it up. I've been saying, look, it's great what they're doing, but I just don't think it's going to last. Like, they've made finals, but I never saw them as like a grand final. But now you have to.
Yeah.
Because they're probably going to play in a prelim, which has just probably never been happening. I don't know what the other two teams did when they made finals. I doubt they made the prelim. It's just ridiculous, man. And... like, obviously, Sam Mitchell's a genius, and I'm pretty envious of Hawks fans because they're just such a successful team, and they're back already. Like, you look at North Melbourne's rebuild, Melbourne, how long it took them, Essendon's forever rebuilding, Carlton. Like, it doesn't look like it's that hard, boys. Yeah. Just pick up a bunch of no-names that know how to play a system, and that's it. Like, tell me how many players are in the Hawthorns team that are, like, superstars. You got, like, Sicily, Matt's mate, Will Day.
Yeah, he's not even playing.
Wasn't even playing,
right? Who else is a household name? Not that that means anything, right? Yeah. But like, who is it? Carlton compared to him, two common medalists, a potential dual Brownlow medalist, Sam Walsh. It means shit, bro. What they've done is so impressive because they play to a perfect system. They can all run. They're actually quite skillful. And I was telling you guys during that game, it's like Bont, Libba, you know, Ed Richards, Tim English versus like Connor Nash or something in the midfield. Yeah. And they're still finding a way to get... Like, it doesn't... Maybe the gap between the best and the other players is not that big. It's more about system. It's more about role players. Why there's always a Hawks player free? But the thing that's just crazy is like Nick Watson, first-year player, Cal Shadia. Who told us that it took 10 years for a forward to become a player?
Unreal, I know. Yep.
So this is the thing. They're just performing in a way that just, how are they doing it? And one way is they've managed to recruit D'Ambrosio. What a steal. Scrimshaw they got for free from a couple of years ago from Gold Coast. What a game he played. Mabu Chol playing a role. Who else did they steal? I don't know if there's a couple other players that they've picked up, right? Straight, impact straight away.
Ginnivan's.
Yeah, that one's huge, man.
Man can have lemon lime bitters at a pub the night before, still perform.
Man.
Yeah. Look, I don't think, like everyone's on the kind of the Hawks bandwagon, the exciting team, but I don't think enough is made of just how ridiculous what they're doing actually is. It's just we've actually never seen it.
No, so, it's true. Like that quick a rebuild with that young a team and just
that was 0-5, bro. Now they bury every team they play.
Yeah, I think like the thing, say Ginnivan, for example, I think you probably can't understate the fact that he's come in and he's, I think, I don't know if it's not just him, obviously, but there's just the camaraderie. There's just this, you know, there's a vibe, as they say, you know, which I say as well. But you know,
look, they're a the team. Young people say. To beat them, you have to beat the team. They're not a bunch of individuals, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what it takes to be a side. And that's what, to an extent, Geelong actually is as well.
Yeah, true. Quite frankly as well, I mean, we say it's been a quick rebuild. I think they hadn't won a final, was it like 9 years or something? It's actually been
that long.
Yeah,
it's been quite a while since they won a final. So in my eyes, like,
but I don't think from their bottom down.
Yes, from their bottom down, it's come pretty quickly. Yeah. But the way I think of it, like, if you're not playing finals for 9 years, that's sort of your rebuild. Like, that's your time of improving to make finals and then win a final. But
it's interesting. You kind of think back to what they did. They got rid of Tom Mitchell. They got rid of Jago Mira. There was another good midfielder I think they disposed of as well. Can't think of. Mm. But like, they actually got rid of a couple of their key players. Mm. And it kind of cost them in the short term, but then allowed them to have all these other guys come through.
Yeah. Well, I think what you said is it's a team game and there's 18 players on the field at any given time. So any one individual brilliant player, of course, will make an impact. Yeah. But if you have 18 guys knowing exactly what to do at all times, I don't think the talent gap is that big, like you said, that they can't all perform at an elite level. And it just proves it. I mean, me and Mats are constantly talking North. Like, we just need players with like speed, skill, something that'll like fit a system. Like at the moment, it's like, oh, he's kind of nice at this, but not at that. Mm. He's too short to do this, but he's not fast enough to do that. Mm. Like these guys just kind of make sense where they play.
Yeah.
And they give it their all. And like you said with Kel Shadir, he sees ball, he goes and gets it. Like it's actually not that complicated.
No.
But I think a lot of the time the play, like, but it's
if you're a complicated giving him, game. If it's to his advantage, if you're giving him the best chance to actually mark it, you're increasing the odds. And the other thing is, if you're a team that spreads and gives each other space, if you've got space and you're not under pressure, you're more likely to make your kicks. And if there's a guy that's free in the forward 50 and he's got 10 meters separation, if your kick is 1 or 2 meters off, you're still there. Mm. So it makes everyone look good because they kind of know where to go, right?
Yeah.
If someone manages to break Hawthorne's system, all these players will start to look second grade because that's what happens when you break anyone's system, right? Mm. But at the moment, they can't be stopped.
Mm, that's true.
It's pretty cool.
Shout out to Giant Newcomb. That's what I say.
Matt's his boy.
Yeah, he's... Look, I was telling Dino because we're watching the game together. Like I famously on the pod have Sicily, Chol, and Day as my boys, as my Hawthorn boys. Newcomb's joined the boys. He's joined the boys.
That's fair.
First of all, he helped me win the Supercoach draft final against Dino. So shout out to him.
How long did it take you to bring that up?
Nah, look, bro.
Stop the watch.
Yeah. But he's joined that because I think the inside game obviously is something he's always had, but he's relatively quick where he can burst away. He has a decent enough kick, you know. He kicks goals, you know. Like there was a point in the year where he was playing forward and he was taking contested marks. I'm like, what is this guy? They did so well getting him in that mid-season draft 2-3 years ago, whatever it was, man. Like he's the best midfielder for literally no like no investment really, you know. Apart from I think they gave him a bit more of a contract than most people would have taken in the mid-season draft, but still.
And he was playing at Box Hill anyway, so it was always going to happen.
Yeah, true.
They go get, so we mentioning recruits before, Lloyd Meek doesn't get spoken about.
Yeah, and him as
this
well.
This guy's he's a monster.
He before the game.
Like, you just look at him though, physically, like he's a gorilla out there. Unreal.
Yeah, nice. But he matches up on Tim English, for example, very well, because Tim English is a noodle.
He was poor. Yeah. I mean, look, let's talk about the Dogs for a moment, right?
Yeah.
We mentioned the midfield. They got more clearances, so you can say, okay, they got outdone.
Whatever. They always get more clearances around the ground, yeah.
Yeah, but like so many players just did not have an impact.
Well, look, if we look at just based on the numbers, right? So Treloar got 28, solid numbers. 25, Libba. 23, Richards. And we got to scroll down for Bont, 18. Mm. 18 and one goal.
The guy got like 5 possessions in 2 quarters because he was resting forward. This screams of arrogance to me. I hate the whole, it's a team. And you know, let we've got good enough players in the midfield handle it. Like we just talked about, a team takes a team. But if you also need your champions to step up, and you use your champions as a weapon when it's required, right? So if they don't have ascendancy and they're behind, and you've got the best player in the competition just not getting the ball, put him in the midfield. Because he did that and he kicked the goal straight away and he burst and nearly kicked another one from long range.
Yeah.
Like, are you taking the piss out of me?
Mm-hmm.
You tell me any player can match up on the bont when he's fired and ready to go? No, you can't. Yeah. I just could not believe it. I'm sorry. That's just ridiculous. In my mind, there's no excuse for when the game you're behind. Like, if they're ahead, fine. But the game's there to be won. You put your best player on the ball.
I agree with you, man.
I don't think that's that crazy to say, man.
And the thing is as well, they only did have in the end 39 inside 50s to 59. So you wonder why like he's having no impact up forward. They couldn't get the ball forward.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. There you go.
Unreal, man.
Yeah, no. Nah, look, I was like, and I was saying this to Dino during the game as well, that I want Bont to have like a mad performance because then I could use that. I was getting ideas for the post-pod, you know, audio message, you know, and I was hoping, I had something lined up for Bont, but he just didn't deliver for me. So I can't use that. I've come up with something else, and I'm sure you guys will enjoy it. It's an extended voice message to finish off the pod. But look, I think it's going to be a very interesting off season now for the Bulldogs because you know they're done now. Bailey Smith, he put in a trade request officially today, which inevitable. We all knew it was going to happen. I don't know. Where do you think it sort of leaves them going into next season?
Well, they're interesting because they're one of those teams that. People were saying that they could go all the way and win the flag, right?
Yeah.
How funny how quickly it changes. They're a team that's got a lot of talent that I think is almost in the same boat as something like Carlton where some of their lesser likes, sometimes they perform and they look great and then sometimes they just go missing.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that they've got enough support around their stars.
Mm. Look, I think going into next season, I think they're going to be like – just fine, to be honest with you. Now, like, if I was to give my like actual, you know, thoughts onto next year, like it wouldn't surprise me if they made top four out of this because you still look at the list and it's just like all the midfielders we talked about, they're still there. They'll probably get something out of Bailey Smith. They'll get something out of maybe a Caleb Daniel or a Jack McRae.
They should get rid of those players, I think.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, if you're not going to utilize these guys to the best of your ability, get rid of them, get more assets, you know, and try to, you know, build for the now. I think they should be all right. And was Darcy, he'll improve again next year. We saw what we did against North, you know.
Well, I saw it front row, man.
You saw it. I didn't.
Level one.
You know, some people saw it, you know.
Right in front of me.
Yeah, right in front of me.
He's probably the biggest positive for them this year, other than Ed Richards. Actually, there's a few.
And Lobb.
Richards, but especially Darcy, given he's the youngest. He's arrived. Like, what a player.
Yeah. So, like, look, the only thing I find a bit weird. I honestly think that they should have let go of Tim English, personally. I think they should have let go of Tim English, let him go to wherever he wanted to go. I actually think personally that because he had such an average year, that the offer from the Perth teams probably wasn't as strong anymore. Like, but in my opinion, if I was the Doggies, I'd want to get rid of him. Just get Jordan Sweet back. Get that type of ruckman, just a random ruckman, or even have Darcy play there. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, you don't need to pay this big money for a dude who doesn't impact in finals footy. He didn't do it today anyway.
I think he's had a poor year, Tim English. I don't think he's really had much impact at all.
Yeah. I think all of his weaknesses have been just exposed that, all right, he's not a big tap ruckman. Mm. And like, look, he's marking around the ground could be all right sometimes, but
yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's fair. Mm. Don't forget as well, they've got Sanders, who's developing pretty nicely.
Yeah, so, true. He's just chilling in the background, you know.
I think it's every year, though, for the Dogs. We enjoy their list. Mm. We think they're a good team. But they've fallen, like, very short for a long time now.
Yeah.
They haven't even made prelims.
True. Does Bevo's job come under scrutiny? Or what are we thinking?
Naturally, a little bit. Yeah.
I think it has to.
Yeah. Do you reckon it'd be a good idea to get rid of him or not?
Wasn't that my prediction earlier in the year? Like, he goes and then the new coach leads him to the flag or like top four, whatever I said.
Yeah, actually. Yeah.
Can't remember exactly what I said.
So maybe.
Ken to the Dogs.
Ken to the Dogs.
Like, Ken replacing Bevo would be the exact same thing. Ken in the kennel.
Ken in the kennel's good, man. I like that. Ken in the
kennel. You heard it here first, boys. All right, let's talk about... Yeah. Do you have more to say?
They're a team that's hard to predict, really.
Yeah.
But I think that given that they've got some serious stars... they'd want to utilize the Bont in his prime.
100%.
You know what I mean?
100%.
Yep, agreed.
And they didn't play, I think Riley West was available. He didn't get played. They played Harms instead.
That was weird, man. That was weird.
I feel like he's been one of their better smalls, Riley West.
Yeah, 100%.
But players like, I don't know, Vandermeer and these types, They're the ones that I think the Dogs have to find out what they're going to do with these players. But I'm definitely for them getting rid of McRae, Caleb Daniel, those types, and recycling them for draft picks and rejuvenating little spots like that. But yeah, their core is and their spine's very strong. So that allows them to kind of stay relevant, I think, over the next couple of years. Whether they can push for a flag is different, though.
Yep, fair.
Okay. Well said.
Yeah, the big clash.
Yeah, I was going to say the
New South Wales.
Probably the only actually good game.
The only finals game, really.
Yeah, what a game.
Yeah. That game, yeah, that was what I was hoping for when I came back, to see some entertaining footy, some competitive footy. You know, it felt like everything mattered during that game. You know what I mean? So that was pretty sweet to come back and see. Look, I think GWS, they started the game hot, right? They started the game really hot, but they missed opportunities at the start. Mm-hmm. They missed opportunities in the start. And
easy opportunities. Yeah,
like. And then you leave it open for Isaac Heaney to come and be a beast, Warner to be a beast in the last quarter. Mm. Like,
7 clearances in the last quarter for Warner.
Yeah. And that he only 7 clearances for the game.
Yeah, he's doing just, nothing.
He's like, you know what? I'm going to step it up right now. I'm going to be the GOAT again, you know, for a random moment, you know, in the season.
Yeah.
But yeah, nah, look, I guess you can't rule out the Swannies, even though I know you guys have been sort of questioning them on the pod.
They've been down on form. They haven't really been that impressive. But the truth is they've been the best team all year. So are we that surprised that they're in a prelim? No. Can't be.
No, not surprised, but I will say this, right? Matza said it well. GWS, I mean, every team knows now that the Swans start cold, right?
Yep.
Giants come out, they're the better team for the whole half. But all they had to show for it was barely about a 20-point lead. Mm. Not good enough, considering how well they're playing. Then the Swans make their push, but then they repel it, right? So you're thinking, okay, game's in the balance now. And the only reason the Swans won that game was their big-time players doing incredible things.
Yeah.
He and his one-handed mark. And the snap to finish, mind you.
Yeah.
Papley.
Yeah.
Like, I was actually thinking at one point in the game before he did the madness at the end there, like, this guy's just annoying, isn't he? Like, he will score a goal when they're down like 25, you're like, and he's carrying on like an idiot. You're like, can you just relax,
man? No one likes Papley, but he's a good player.
But then he did the play at the end of the game where he wins the 2-on-1, gives it to Heaney. Heaney scores from 60. You're like, okay, this guy's winning the game for them. Even
further out than 60, dude.
Maybe, whatever it was.
It was almost half back, bro.
Right, so there's countless moments like this. Even the Amadi goal, no one's talking about it. He just grabs that thing, throws it on the boot, dead in the middle. So there was all these moments that you're like, if they play that exact quarter another 100 times, I reckon they only win it like 5 times.
But I think the Swans have relied on their special talent to get them out of trouble for most of the year.
But is that it's obviously good, but I think a team's going to just say, not today, and it just won't happen one day, and they'll lose.
Potentially. Mm. Potentially.
So who would they line up against? Do they line up against the winner of Giants and the Lions?
Hawthorn game.
Hawthorn
versus Port.
Ooh, that's interesting. Interesting. I don't know if either of these teams have the...
Well, Port destroyed them a few weeks ago. Destroyed them.
Yeah, that was the 70-0.
Right? So what's
How's that even possible?
So say Port wins, right? Then it's... Port against a team that they completely embarrassed. How does that mind games go? The Hawks, if they win again, they're not going to give a stuff about Sydney. They're going to just go and give them a game and a half. Probably very similar to this game, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Look, I think you're right. And the fact that Swans have started slowly, they've come back a lot of the times because they've won a lot of games, but they've lost a lot of first quarter. So that naturally means that they've come back. But they have had like ridiculous seasons from Heaney. Ridiculous seasons from Warner. Even though Goulden was really quiet, he's had a massive season. They had 4 All-Australians, Blakey as well. So they've got some serious individual talent. And also the super sub in, what's his name? Campbell.
Yeah.
He made a big impact as well. So it was a big moment type of thing. And even talking big moments, Callum Ward managed to kick that goal and put him like 10 points or something up. And you're like, oh, they've repelled them. And then it still wasn't enough. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's the grand final rematch, though.
That would be pretty sweet.
It would be interesting. Yeah, it'd be a great game.
It's actually very possible as well.
Like you'd be killing it. Man, if you imagine being a Giants player or like fan or whatever, like you're in command of this game to be one game away from a granny. Yeah. And now you've got like this difficult path to get there again.
Geelong.
Brisbane away, Geelong at the G. Like, is it Geelong? Yeah, it'd be Geelong at the G.
Yeah.
Man, what a scenario you've walked into instead of just being one game away.
Yeah, you can't think about that though if you're there.
No, you can't.
Yeah, no, you can only look forward.
But, I think they're resilient enough to deal with
I think they're a resilient team. I think they're probably one of the more resilient teams.
Mm. Yeah.
But yeah, Henny didn't do any damage to his reputation this year.
No.
Yeah.
No, and that
thank,
was incredible.
And thank Jack Buckley didn't do any damage to his spine as well. Like, yeah. Bro, like, it's funny because I noticed that straight away having watched it. And it's actually gotten a bit of buzz in the community.
Yeah.
They've mentioned the broadcast, they mentioned it. And then I think there was an article about it today as well.
Well, even Heaney's mum said thank you on Twitter.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Oh, well, that's you know, it's getting buzzed then. If the mum's saying it, legit, that mark.
Yeah, ridiculous, man.
That's
what more can you do in a game?
I know, legit, bro. Like, that's, you know, 30-3 and then, you know, a top 10 mark just about of all time, I would say. Like, you know, it's up there. That mark goes up there.
Nice.
And Jack Buckley, man, shout out to him. You know, his dad, Ben Buckley, 75 games for North. Not enough, of course, because we don't get father sons.
Of course.
But he'd be great. he'd be so good, man. He's a dude who, like, I know, like, Sam Taylor always seems to miss about 5-6 games a year.
Yeah.
And you never notice it because he stands up, Iden stands up, Himmelberg stands up, and they just – Lee Kalir comes in, and it's just – they're just fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Shout out to GWS, man. They'll be back. They'll be just fine.
I think they need Cogs to lift, to be honest.
Yeah.
He's had a poor year, really. Been kind of irrelevant.
Yeah. Has he been playing as much midfield as usual?
Probably not.
Yeah. I'm curious. I don't know how to work the AFL app anymore because I've been gone for a while. I want to see CBAs, man. Show me CBAs.
There at the bottom.
Yeah, no, I'll figure it out. I'll get to you boys on the CBAs.
I was going
to
say, not just Cogs though, Toby Green, right?
Yeah.
12 touches and he missed, we were saying earlier about missing chances, he missed a really easy one in that, I think it was the second quarter.
He's been poor all year, man. Can't sugarcoat it.
I thought he would sort of step it up and he sort of was towards the end of the year showing a bit more normality, but the game like this, usually he's the one winning the match and he actually, I'm not going to say cost them, but he didn't contribute to the win or the potential win.
Definitely not.
Look, Cogs is actually lower on the CBAs than you'd expect. Like, it's right now, like, it's Tom Green, Peatling, and Kelly.
I was going to say, they've had Peatling running through there quite a bit.
He's in high demand, Peatling. He's had a really good year.
Yeah, I think they should just keep him, mate. Try their best to keep him. Otherwise, you know, I think Collingwood are interested. Be a few other teams interested 100%. In him as well. He'd be maybe good for Collingwood. They need someone to help. Like another dude, mid-season draft guy, I'm pretty sure, you know? And I think he, if I'm not mistaken, he was on the GWS Academy, but they didn't pick him up. And then eventually he got his chance and, you know, shout out to him, man. Well, that's a bit of a feel-good story there.
Yeah, like it.
Yeah, he's pretty handy, man.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, George. We've stalled long enough. The overs and unders in the group chat are at 23.5-minute rant.
So start the clock.
Start the clock. Thanks, Perry, for that one.
I don't know, man. What do you want me to say, bro? What do you want me to say?
Nah, like, start us off. How are you feeling when you guys were down 60-0?
Nah, we won't. I don't know.
Fuck.
If you want me to start it off, I'll say.
That's
60-0, I laced up the boots myself and I got in the car. I'm driving to Brisbane. I'm gonna line up small forward Jesse Motlop. I'm gonna kidnap him, get rid of him because he's useless. And
you
I'll play.
Did say a few years, was it last year? You're like, I wouldn't be surprised if Jesse Motlop was like in our top five players. I swear you said
I don't think he said that. But you used to say I actually think he's skillful.
Yeah, well, he's not. He sucks. He's what I have said, and you guys can't deny this, is the small forward. Carlton small forwards are the worst small forwards, bro. They're trash. Yeah. North Melbourne small forwards are better than ours, bro.
Look, we don't even have any.
I know.
We don't even have any.
I know, because zero is better than negative, mate. That's what it is.
Well, how about Matt Owies, man? I thought Matt Owies was
playing.
He wasn't playing. Oh, there you go.
Look, I don't like Matt Owies, but he does kick goals. Yeah. Anyway, I didn't expect to win this game, right? There's a lot of, like, taking the piss and, yeah, we got it and, you know.
You G'd me up last 2 weeks ago, man.
But, like, that doesn't mean that's actually what's going to happen or how we feel, right?
Yeah.
It was always going to be a long shot. And then... You know, and most Carlton supporters were probably in the same boat. Like, we don't think we're likely to win, but we're a chance. And you can't say we're not a chance. We're a sniff, outside chance. Let's see what we can do. And then you go, all right, who's coming back? Because we've had a ridiculous injury list, as we know. And they bring back like 6 or 7 players. Sam Doherty comes back from an ACL. Does that galvanize the group? But then there's all this selection kind of criteria. So there's all this going on in the background. You have no idea what to think. You don't know who's going to play. Is Kerner going to play? No, he's not going to play. Right, it's at the Gabba, it's away. It's all against us, but you expect them to fight they're talking about the fight. Mm. They're producing articles about finals and Crips and Spotlight and this. And 0-60.
You just don't see that.
Come on, man. That is, there is, like, we joke around, you know, yeah, footy banter. But some things are just like, bro, you can't joke about that. That's actually, that hurts.
Yeah, yeah.
That's actually, you know, not okay.
And you know what?
Are, like, you okay, friend? No.
No.
I'm
no,
actually
no.
not.
Like, that's actually pretty brutal, man.
I actually had this thought watching the footy this week. Like, North got beat up a lot this year, and especially towards the end of the year. And I just found myself thinking, like, if Port at home is getting whacked like Northwood, and like Carlton's losing 60-0, like, is the gap that big? Like,
maybe not.
I would, no way we'd be down 60-0 in any game. Like, it's not happened even in our worst of years. Like, how does that happen?
I don't know how.
It's such a mental game.
How does that happen in a final?
Yeah, we can't fathom the mental side of the game because we have no idea.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, it's clearly that. That's, me and Matza were at, shout out MCW, Thornbury Theatre. And we were checking the scores. It was like 29-0, whatever. And then guy in front of me after one of the fights, I see him, like, it was, I think it was 50 something, 54-0 or whatever. I said to Matza, it's 54-0, man. He's like, getting out the phone.
Yeah.
Look, all I can say to you, George, is this year didn't go to plan. It does suck that you've made a prelim with all the momentum last year. You've started the year pretty well.
Yeah,
you've had,
I think,
the
it was
high
very well. Bro, middle of the year, we're flag favourites.
You were second. You're like, which other team can challenge Sydney? And then to go from that to not winning a final,
yeah,
it's sad.
Yeah.
You know, I think the finals time's more upbeat in Victoria when a good big Victorian team's in it.
Yeah.
The only one now is Hawthorn, really.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm sad for you, man. It's no way to go out. But with the team, with all their injuries, you said they came back in. Like, that's the issue with a quarter of your team coming back from injury, is like, they're not going to be up to...
Look, it's a factor. You can't pretend like it's not a factor, but it's not an excuse.
No.
The selection was always going to be a big talking point. It is. They clearly got it wrong in hindsight. The problem they have is it's a little bit hard to judge because we don't know the information that they had. Like, what in reality, like, what were these players? Was Chera actually right? But the thing is, if you've got young players like the boys that were playing, you know, Bins and Cooper Lord and Moyer, do you play these guys? Like, Tom DeConning sub, like, if he's going to sub, like, he's a brilliant player, but you look at that and you're like, it's over. Or automatically, because it just means he's not fit, right? And then it goes so poorly to their plan that they sub off Matthew Kennedy in, like, the second quarter for Tom DeConning. And Matthew Kennedy, was he the right sub? And then there's the talk of he's been treated unfairly because he just had a baby and he's fallen up and he's played one quarter. He's on the bench, cross arms, depressed. Like, it's just all these narratives. But at the end of the day, like, there's just no excuse for that performance. And then it's almost more torture losing the game in the first quarter and then all the commentary going, they have come back from 46 points in the past. 46 points, 60 points against Brisbane at home in the final. Give me a spell.
Yeah.
But there is... The thing is a lot of Carlton fans, again, circle back to it, didn't expect it. And me, it was more like, let's just see what happens. And when it was over in the first quarter, it was over. It was more about, all right, let's just see now. Let's just find out. For Carlton, the biggest worry I have is that Voss that has an outdated system. The amount of times they kick to a pack, like, I've never seen this before. It's unbelievable. And then you look at the game before, is Hawthorn, and you see a young team like that spread and run, and then you look at your team kick to the pack when there's no one even down the line, and that's almost like a Bulldogs type of thing as well. It's like, man, have we got that wrong?
That's such a good point. Like, you think to the Hawthorn game, you rarely see them kicking it to a pack.
They have a different game style. Yeah. Carlton's game style, what is it? Like, it's so frustrating that you almost think, did they build the game style around Kerner and Mackay and Cripps instead of building it around a team? I think Carlton, one of their problems is they've, and I've kind of alluded to this throughout this pod, is like, they have too many individuals. They've got a lot of great players and they think that that's what makes them a team. Mm. It's not. So when we're playing our best footy at the middle of the year, all of our other players were playing their role really well. And that hasn't happened now. So you have a final and you've got Motlop not touching it, Durden not touching it, Kennedy subbed out, Fantasia playing, like, this is players missing targets, always under pressure, always handballing, missing targets, handballing under pressure, tackle the whole game, man. And then they try to take it on and it's like a fumble handball. Oh, that one accidentally works. Now they're in space and they kick a goal from that. And it looks like these disabled people trying to play footy for the first time. This is a professional team. And then the other one, bounces, kicks the to three different people, and kicks a goal. Like, how can you be under so much pressure? How, like, are you that unskilled? Is it, like, what is going on?
Yeah,
that I can't answer. But like, how can you be 3 years under Voss, effectively miss the finals twice because we didn't really deserve to play finals? Not in 3 years, not play one consistent season. Last year was an abomination and then brilliance. This year was brilliance then abomination. The first year under Voss was very good and then pretty bad. So it's all this. Carlton hasn't put together one season where they've, and if they did, they would be top four any of those seasons. So are they a good team or not? I can't answer you that question. But I want to see some pretty serious change, man. I don't want to see a passive will improve. I'm not expecting Carlton to be shit next year because there's plenty of good players there. You can't deny that there's bones, but half of the injury list players that I always talk about, Jack Martin, forget about Jack Martin. I never want to mention this guy's name. He doesn't play football. See you later. Marchbank, see you later. David Cunningham, see you later. Like, get clean out a bit of these lower end players that are potential but never reach it. Yeah? Find a small forward because those guys are trash.
Is there anyone?
We don't have anyone within. We've got to find.
I was going to say, is there anyone you're reading is linked to the Blues? No. Small forward?
Stengel was linked for a little bit and I was like, well, I don't know where they're going to find a small forward from, man, but it's key. And then the other thing that I think is a bit of a problem with Carlton is too many of the same type of players in the midfield. They need a point of difference. So what do you do when Hewitt is a good player and Chera is a good player and Kennedy is a good player, but the collective of those doesn't allow for a midfield that works? Like, how do you get rid of a player like Hewitt, who's extremely good contested player, but that's the only thing he's good at, and you've got to be versatile in football? And what do you do with players that have talent and are a big name like Zach Williams, who actually isn't that good and doesn't really have a role? You got to get rid of him. I'd rather a role player than a name. McGovern, does he actually do anything? He's a big name. He's talented. We know he's talented. Who cares? So they need to shuffle the pieces. They need to find players that play roles instead of that are names that are talented. They got to clean out players that are always injured, and they got to build around that. You still build around Cripps, Walsh, Wiedering, Kerno, Mackay. There's plenty there. But I want to see round one next year, Moyers playing, Binns playing. I want to see some youth come in and give it that Hawthorn spark. And even if we have to go backwards for a little bit, I don't think we will much. But I just don't want any of these maybes anymore. I want players that play roles.
That's
and
fair.
Hopefully that makes a difference. I want consistency. Like, I'm sick of relying on Cripps to win the game.
Yeah.
I'm sick of, like, people that don't watch Carlton don't actually understand how many games Kerno won off his boot last year. He was brilliant. He didn't do that this year. And we suffered. If he played like he did last year, we would have won a couple of extra games and we'd be top four. That's the difference in the competition. But we don't deserve to be there because you can't rely on Kerno doing that or Cripps doing that. And no, you shouldn't. Heaney won that final because he's a champion, but they put themselves as a team to be in that situation.
Yeah.
And you rely on the champs in the moments, the Dustin Martins, they make it happen. But that's what the champions are for. They're not for every single game finding a way to be miraculous.
Yeah, so. That's very well said, actually.
Yeah,
very well said.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, it's pretty shit, man. To be out of it, to be in it for so long, to be out of it, and to just know, like, what is actually wrong with this team. But I just hope that Carlton has the balls to actually make some change. Because if they say, we're nearly there, improvements within, bullshit. Too many of the same player. Doherty comes back and has a full preseason. Jack Silvani comes back in. They're all the same type of guy, man. Give us some difference. Give us some speed. Give us some spread. Give us someone that can actually hit a target for once. We don't have those players. So anyway, there's a bit of change, but it's not, even though it's shit, it's not all doom and gloom, because as I said, there's still plenty of bloody good players there. I just got to make them work.
That's fair enough, man. Fair enough. I think that would have been very therapeutic for a lot of Carlton supporters right there. I'm sure it was a little bit therapeutic for yourself as well.
Well, Georgie, I don't know, man. Therapeutic will see us actually playing good football. The thing is, like, Brisbane are good, right? But they're not that good.
No.
They're actually not that good.
No, I don't think so either.
And they're the best. Sydney is like a bad starter, but Lions are literally the best starter. That was a ridiculous start. But then the way that they let Carlton back in, I know that they had the game sown.
Yeah.
Like, it's a bit different. They're probably conserving some energy, but they don't play a full game of football either. And now who do they got to go up against? the Giants.
Giants.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, they're resting for next week, man. They're getting ready.
I don't think the Lions are going to win that, personally. Mm.
Look, I wouldn't think so either. I think GWS are a better team.
I think they're a better team.
I think, yeah. Now, with Brizzy, you're relying on the midfield brilliance of, you know, Neil Dunkley.
Yeah.
McCluggage had a huge first half. He was ridiculous.
He's a special player, man.
Didn't he have like seven tackles in the first quarter?
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, it was like, I think it was...
Six or seven.
Yeah, six or seven in the first quarter. So I was just like, whoa.
He's an underrated player, McCluggage. He's not getting all Australian knowledge or anything like that, but he's pretty elite.
Yeah. And then, like, low-key, Ashcroft's just come back in the team second half of the year, getting better and better.
Well, they're going to be good. Like, they get Levi Ashcroft as well.
Correct.
Who do they get? Kitty Coleman back.
True.
There's a couple other, like Lincoln McCarthy. So you'd expect Brisbane to be up there again.
Yeah, true. And all of a sudden, Zorko has a little bit of a, you know, resurgence in his career. Yeah, like he has a defined role that he's good at. Like, yeah.
That would have especially stung for Georgie. He's like, where's this guy come from?
Yeah. Where's this guy come from? Back 35, bro. Anyway.
Yeah. Right, great player. All right, let's put you out of your misery.
Mm.
Talk a little bit about next week, boys. So there's two games only, of course.
Mm.
The top four teams that won have earned their break. We have on Friday night, Adelaide Oval, Port v the Hawks. The Hawks are currently $1.58. The Power are $2.39. So the Hawks are the favourites.
Wow.
Look,
I'm going to go the Hawks just because Stafford, man, surely.
Yeah.
They haven't
shown any weakness, man. So if they haven't shown a weakness, Port has shown a weakness.
Is it the week you back them, they let you down, George?
Yeah, maybe.
Reverse psychology. It must be, bro.
I have no allegiance to Port, man. Even though they got us in the finals, they probably shouldn't have.
So, I know. Now look, they've made it harder for you. Yeah, they've made it harder for you.
I've got to go Hawks too.
All three Hawks, mate. Let's be fair. Like, look, I think the Hawks are good, but like, it would be so nice to see Ken and these boys go out in straight sets again. Like, let's be fair. You know, Horn Francis. You know, still there's a little bit of angst.
North going to win a final before Horn Francis.
Yeah. Could you imagine? Look, if we somehow miraculously made finals next year and our game was ahead of theirs, you know what I mean?
I would love nothing more than to beat them in the final.
Oh.
A final, an elimination final. Fifth v 8th.
What, 2045 you're talking about?
We have bad history against Port though.
Can I be honest? I don't want to talk finals. Like, I was thinking within 3 years of Clark, mate, not next year. Let's talk in 3 years, son. I don't want to talk about it.
No, fair enough.
We need a time skip. We need like a Thanos.
I'd love someone to just whisper in my ear the next time North's going to win a finals game. And just, I hope it's like 2020 something. Because if I hear 30, I'm just not watching. Yeah, I'm not watching footy for the next 5 years.
No, you're right. I don't know if I could either. Like, what am I going to...
Not if you knew. No way.
Nah, true.
Well, like, imagine the next time you want a flag, they whispered in my ear, 2060. I die, bro.
Bro, at that point, I'm just focusing on my health so I can enjoy it.
You're a Saints fan at that point.
If someone's at 26, yeah, you don't follow football.
You're a Saints fan at that point.
Yeah, you're a Saints fan. Nah, look, if someone told me the year, like, you'd just be like, if it was that far down the line, you know, I'd just, be taking care of my health. You know what I mean? Just like, you know, making sure that I'm primed for that moment. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
You know?
Bro, that's actually a good point, though. Like, St. Kilda, what's up, bro? Like, how is that? One flag.
66.
So that's,
wow. I don't think any of us can complain, man.
Yeah.
That's almost a 60-year anniversary in 2 years. Yeah. Wow.
That's crazy.
Happy anniversary.
Wow, they suck.
You know the Doggies? So they won theirs, what, 20... When did they win theirs?
16.
2016.
Yeah.
For them, it was 2054. I'm pretty sure it was... Sorry. 1954. I'm pretty sure, for the Doggies.
No way, man.
Yeah. So they had a long, long wait as well. You know. But now all of a sudden they're good.
That sounds
now that you long. Think, like, Gold Coast obviously never won one. Giants never won one.
Freo
never won one.
No.
Port only won one.
Yes. No. Oh, no, they have won one. Yeah,
just won the one. Yeah. Saints haven't won in forever. North hasn't won almost
since
in forever. 99.
Yeah.
There's so many teams that are just...
Well, Carlton 95, longer than you.
Yeah, guys. Longer than us.
Yeah.
Essendon's 2000. Like, there's so many teams that are like well over 20 years waiting. That's a long time to wait for success.
It's a long time.
There's been a monopoly in the league of like Hawthorn, Sydney, Brisbane,
Geelong.
Cats. They've had a monopoly on, and Collingwood, you can say, been there and about. They've had a monopoly on success and I'm sick of it, boys.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sick of it.
Mm.
Anyway.
Get
your shit together. All these teams like North, Carlton, Essendon, get your shit together.
Band together and take out the other guys.
Oh, Richmond was forever before they won the couple.
Yeah, true. I think they would have been the 80s as well or something.
Even West Coast has been relevant as...
West Coast is a great organization. They've won many flags.
In every decade, they're winning flags, yeah.
And that's why they don't deserve a priority pick because they've been good. Like, that's legit. Like, they were a premiership side, what, 5 years ago?
I think you'd like, if you haven't won a flag, I think a decade to 15 years, after that, what are you doing? True. Like, West Coast, every decade, they're winning flags. Hawthorn, all these teams, right? All these other teams, what are you doing? Like, how is it taking you this long to figure things out?
Well, that's what I'm saying with Carlton, right? Like, they've been bad for so long, but it's not like they've made premiership, is the grand finals.
We haven't made one grand final since 99, just like North.
Yeah. Like, they haven't even been amongst it, man. They had that period in 2011, 2012, but they never were really going to threaten.
Man, I had a video come up on my YouTube recommended. Shout out YouTube recommended. Essendon's last finals win, which was against Melbourne. I think it was like, what year was it? 04 or 05 or something. Since they won a final.
Yeah, 20 years.
Mate, I'm seeing guys in this team. I haven't heard of their names in like forever. Adam Ramanaskas and friggin' all these guys, man. What's going on here? How has it been that long?
Ramanaskas.
Anyway.
Nah, mate. I love how you went shout out to YouTube. You know, like, like they need a shout out.
Shout out YouTube.
Yeah, it's like saying shout out Apple.
He's trying to get favorites or something. Like.
Shout out Uber. You know what I mean? Like, just like these guys are doing just
probably
fine.
Sponsored by YouTube.
Yeah. Bro. One day.
Yeah.
But yeah, nah.
That's about it, man.
Yeah. I was going to say,
what's the other game?
Oh, sorry. Giants v. Lions. Giants v Lions at NG, which we said was a night game at NG.
Giants, baby.
Nah, Giants for sure. Giants for sure.
I don't think the Lions just don't travel as well. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fair.
And they're just like, I don't know. I think.
I would rather the Giants be there. Same, I think they're a better team. I'm happy for them to have some success.
So it'll be Giants v Cats. I'm not sure I want either of those teams in the finals.
I'm happy with the Giants win.
Yeah, I don't want the Lions there either, actually.
Yeah, no, I'd take the Giants winning the whole thing for sure. Yeah, I'd be very happy with that, to be honest.
That's probably actually my preference.
Yeah. No, it's because like they haven't really done anything to make us hate them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, do you have a reason to hate JWS? Dino?
Nah.
See, they're good guys. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they wear orange.
So let's talk bracket for a second right now. So we've got potentially, if our tips go correctly, GWS v Geelong. I think we've just said now we prefer GWS to win.
Yeah, and I think they will.
Certainly. I don't want the Cats in another flag.
No, no way, man.
Yeah.
And then you've got potentially Hawthorn v Sydney, which is a throwback to their grand final.
Yes, matches. 100%, yeah.
You know there's potential for a Geelong Hawthorn final?
Well, that would be cool, bro. That'd be cool.
That'd be cool. That I would endorse. That vibe.
Yeah.
Because they've had some classics over the years.
Yeah, they have.
But what if it's like Sydney, Geelong? Like, that's cool because it's Sydney, but like the vibe in Melbourne's not the same, man.
Bro, if Geelong win the grand final, like what does that do about...
sick.
Would that do with Chris Scott though? Like, he's a genius.
He built the statue for him.
Look, that legit. Like, you know, because we sort of make fun of Scott. And Dino's said, you've said it a few times, you know, he won it in his first year because he inherited this beast team. And you're right. But now all of a sudden, he's winning a premiership with Blitzarves and Manor. Like, it's like...
Yeah, well, if you think about it, since he won that first flag, I know they won one a few years ago.
Yeah.
But that gap between the first and the second, they were making lots of prelims like they always have. I'm not going to go fully into committing to this comment, but like it's similar to a Ken Hinckley always being there and relevant, but not winning. And look how we look at him. So I was kind of justified for a little bit there.
Because Chris Scott has actually had the ultimate success. Though. That's why.
Yes.
That's the key difference.
But that first year, man, I reckon I could have coached that team. That was a great team.
Yeah.
So that was my point, was like all those years where he was doing well, but not getting them over the line, he was criticized by people like me because you're thinking, okay, you still got this great team. What's going on here? Why can't you make a grand final? Then, of course, they win it, and now here they are 2 years later. They're there again. So, I'll take it back on Chris Scott. He's clearly a good coach. He's got all the coaching talent.
Yeah, I guess, you know, they got, what's it called? One of the twins got some coaching chops.
Oh, look, it's a well-known thing. The twins split their skills. So,
it's true.
I just made that up, but it sounds about right.
No, I think that, Dino is, you know, his full-time job is, you know, genetic specialist. I don't know what that would even
for
call
all the viewers and listeners. No, that could be true, Matthew.
Yeah, that could be true, bro.
You keep him mysterious.
Nah, he's low key scientist.
He's a stripper.
I didn't have that body.
I was gonna say, who'd pay? Like, you know,
Oh, God.
But anyway,
I think that's it, boys.
Yeah, no, look, it's been great to be back, boys. We enjoyed coming back.
We're going to do soon a draft preview pod featuring me.
Yeah.
So George, I don't know if George is going to want to be present on that one because he's not really too into it. But
no. Yeah. Well, we'll see how we go, but probably not.
Yeah. Look, I think the idea about it is that I'll be like the host type vibe and Dino actually gives the information and then I'll pop in and say, oh yeah, Levi Ashcroft's all right. You know what I mean?
Like, sounds like good viewing.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be great. So yeah. No.
You're the Riley Beveridge to Michael Toomey.
That's it, man. So Riley Beveridge is there because, you know, he's way better looking than Cal Toomey. and he just vibes, you know what I mean? So that's going to be me.
I like Riley Beveridge. He's cool.
He's a good guy.
No, I saw him at a game. I think it was North versus St. Kilda. Like, if you're at a North versus St. Kilda game...
Well, he kind of tracks North on the AFL app.
Does
he? Anytime there's comments about North,
yeah,
he's like ridden by Riley. So he's in there.
He makes sure to rock up, you know. Not sure about the haircut, to be honest with you, but no, good guy.
It's us, Riley.
Yeah.
So we're going to do just some ideas. If anyone wants to comment and say shit idea or good idea, we're going to do a Dino's top 20 or 30, depending on how excited I get. We're going to break down the mids, forwards, rucks, defenders separately. Yep. So there's going to be a few videos coming out post-finals because there's not much to talk about these days, right? So yeah, be on the lookout for that if you are keen on draft stuff.
Yeah,
let us know.
Yeah,
and we're going to track how accurate he is and we'll keep records, receipts, and then Dean can stop being a stripper and start being like AFL reporter.
Well, here's the... I'm not going to give any spoilers, but I have a very different number one pick this year than anyone else I've seen online.
Ooh.
Very different.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, Dino sort of, he's let me know. I like it a lot. You know,
it's not, you're not coming to AFL Enjoys draft episodes for Cal Toomey copy or like a ESPN draft copy, mate.
He had no cookie cutter, you know, drafter, draft
like a
content
wild
guy.
Prediction, as you guys know. Mm-hmm. So, be on the lookout. And
see you guys on the next episode, eh?
Thanks for watching.
See you later.
Bye. Cheers.
Don't ask me. What you know is true, I don't have to tell you that I love your precious heart. And I was standing, you there, two worlds collided, and they could never tear us apart.